The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, well up within our hearts, enlighten our minds, and guide us, O Lord, in our lives, that we may choose the best way, the way that leads to life. Bless us with your presence. Speak your word. We give you ourselves in this time, and we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. For over 200 years, people have been going to a remote island and digging. They have dug with shovels, other tools, even power equipment. Many have spent time and money on this endeavor. They research, plan, strategize, and they dig, and they dig, and they dig. They've dug down 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, even lower. And every time they do, the pit they are digging fills with seawater. Why would people do this? Why would they spend such time and effort over and over again when their efforts meet with futility? I'm referring to an island in Canada called Oak Island. Since the late 1700s, people have been digging there because they believe there's buried pirate treasure on that island. They dig and they find crazy things like coconut fibers and wood platforms. Many believe that there was a pit that was dug rigged with booby traps. And that's why it fills with seawater. There was a stone uncovered at one point with a coded cipher, which some believe reads 40 feet below is buried 2 million pounds. Some believe it's the treasure of the famous pirate Captain Kidd. Others think it's the lost treasure of Marie Antoinette, and so they keep trying. In recent years, they even did a History Channel reality TV show. In 2017, that show unearthed some interesting things like a lead cross that dates from medieval times and a gem embedded brooch that's hundreds of years old. Buried treasure. Treasure hunters going in pursuit of striking it rich. That's where my mind went as I read over and prayed over the scriptures that we will be reading in church this fall. It made me think of treasure. And by that I mean how Merriam-Webster defines that word as a verb. Treasure, to hold, or keep precious, to cherish. Time and again this fall, the scriptures, and especially Jesus, will be warning us about not investing our lives in the wrong things. That there are real dangers we face in going down the wrong path investing our time, talent, and resources in things that in the final analysis will turn out to be hollow, unsatisfying, fleeting, and worthless. And Jesus himself talked about treasure. Remember, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so over the next 2 months, I'm going to be preaching through these scriptures in a sermon series entitled Treasure Hunting, Pursuing Lasting Fulfillment and Discovering God's Gifts for the Heart. The treasures that Jesus points us to pursue, the treasures that the scriptures point us to pursue, are not material things of this world, such as pirate treasure, but matters of the heart. For as we all know, you can be very wealthy and miserable. You can have all the success in the world and be filled with anxiety and lack peace. You can be famous, accepted by many people, and feel terribly lonely. It's so easy as human beings for us to get off track here and get pulled into a groove of pursuing things that won't really bring us the happiness, peace, and fulfillment we think they will. Have you ever spent a lot of time pursuing something only to come up empty and say to yourself, well, that was a waste of time? Jesus is calling us to give up pursuing lesser things, such as wealth, success, and acceptance, and invest our lives in the pursuit of the treasures of the heart that God gives to us, the very thing for which our Creator designed us. Dallas Willard writes that having treasure is an essential part of what it means to be human. And he says, the most important commandment of the Judeo-Christian tradition is to treasure God and his realm above anything else. And our only wisdom, safety, and fulfillment lies in so treasuring God. Then we will also treasure our neighbors rightly as God treasures them. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, because the human heart needs a treasure to cling to, it is Jesus' will it should have a treasure, but not on earth. So I ask you this morning, what do you treasure? Not what do you think you should treasure, what you think is the right or Christian answer to that question, but really, in your life, truly, where are you investing your life? What dominates your thinking day in and day out? What demands your time? Where are you spending your money and resources? What are you cherishing and treasuring in your life right now? One thing that comes to my mind as I think about that question is my family. I love my family. God wants us to love our families, but even here, Jesus has a strong warning for us this morning. With hyperbole in that startling statement in the gospel that Karen read a few moments ago, Jesus said, whoever does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. What? Should we not treasure our spouse, our children, our families? Should we not cherish life itself? Jesus says no. Jesus is stating it in a provocative way, in an extreme and exaggerated way, so that the point will get through to us. No, we should not build our lives exclusively around even our families. Parents can certainly live life as if they're worshiping their children. When the children become the exclusive, all-out focus of the parents, to the exclusion of other things, this is not what God intends. It can lead to negative consequences, such as children having a sense of entitlement. It might lead to the parents acting in inappropriate behavior, such as we have witnessed recently in the college admission scandal with Lori Loughlin and others. No, Jesus is saying here that all-out focus of our lives should be on something else, treasuring God and his realm above all else. Now, does this mean we should not love our families? Of course, Jesus isn't saying that. But he's provocatively warning us not to become unhealthily focused on them to the exclusion of treasuring God and his realm. This is a tough one. These words of Jesus are challenging for us this morning. And we might well ask them, well, what should we treasure? How can we treasure God and his realm above all else? And we have something this morning to cherish, something to pursue intently. The first treasure in this series has so richly blessed my life, I can't even begin to tell you this morning the numerous ways. It's something that's been more significant in bringing me peace, fulfillment, wholeness, well-being, joy, and comfort than anything else. It has caused more spiritual growth in my life than anything else. And millions throughout the centuries, many even in our own parish, would say the same thing. The treasure of which I'm speaking is the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible. It's there in Psalm 1 this morning. The choir, so glad to have you back, by the way, sang it beautifully. Psalm 1. We hear God calling us to discover the blessing of the Word of God, to find delight that comes in treasuring God's Word in our hearts and in our lives. The first psalm introduces the Psalter and offers us wisdom for living. Happy are they. Now that Hebrew word lacks so much in translation. The words ashrei, blessed. Blessed are they. Blessed meaning they have a profound sense of joy, peace, well-being, confident hope, knowing that God is extending his favor toward them. That's what blessing means. Happiness not just as a feeling, but as lasting fulfillment and divine blessing. Blessed are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Three negative images. Blessed are they who have not identified with those who have an outlook of life that has turned away from God. But then positively, who is blessed? Whose life becomes, as the psalmist says, like a tree planted by streams of waters, growing deep roots, experiencing abundant provision of water and nutrients from the soil, bearing fruit in due season. Who finds this kind of blessing? Verse 2 tells us, it is they who make their delight in the Torah of God. That's what the word law there is. It's Torah. Refers to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These were the Torah. They are the Torah. And when used this way in the psalm, Torah really means Scripture, God's Word. There is blessing in choosing to delight, in seeking our delight in the Torah of God, in the Word of God. And the blessing comes, as the psalmist says, when one meditates on this law day and night, meaning all the time. Meditation here is a word in Hebrew that simply means repetition, saying it over and over and over again, repeating the words of Scripture to ourselves, doing that throughout the day, morning until night. In that there comes the blessing of life, like a glorious tree, which is contrasted with those wandering away from God, whose lives are like the feathery light residue of the harvest, the chaff that's blown away in the wind. Their lives lack substance and rootedness, and the wind disturbs them, tosses them about. And so our first treasure in this series comes to us in cherishing, valuing, pursuing, repeating, reading, studying, listening, meditating, seeking God in the Bible. And I think many of us, when we hear that, say, that sounds crazy. I can't really do that. I've got other things to do than just dwell on the Scriptures all the time. And yet, let me ask you, do you have any books that you cherish? People do, you know, have literature that they love or books that they have read and that they love, and they read them again and again throughout their lives. They talk about them with others. Why, if we can cherish some literature, would we not consider cherishing, treasuring the best-selling book of all time that has arguably had the greatest impact on more people than any other? But is it realistic to make it our constant delight? Meditate on Scripture day and night? We might quickly dismiss that suggestion. Yet as human beings, we are willing to go to incredible lengths to pursue things, such as buried treasure. We practice things over and over and over again to get really good at them. A professional tennis player will hit thousands of balls in practice hours every day. Musicians practice over and over and over again. People study for hours and hours to pass the bar, to score well on the SATs or the MCATs, to make good grades. I'm reminded of the demanding operatic role that my son Stephen had the privilege of performing this summer, Figaro, in Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. It's a 3-hour opera, and the title character Figaro is on stage for most of it, singing recitative and arias in Italian. Just to memorize the hundreds of pages of Italian and music for the hours of performance is a feat in itself. But the performer must also understand the Italian that he's singing so that he can act as he performs it. Stephen spent several hours every day for at least 4 months memorizing, rehearsing, singing, practicing, writing on note cards, coaching, all just to learn that part before the rehearsals for the show even began. We as humans will dedicate ourselves to do things over and over again if we see the value in it. The psalmist is calling us to find the value in delighting in, reflecting on the scriptures again and again and again throughout the day. Science tells us that repeated action again and again actually changes the physical aspects of our brain. The hardwiring of the brain synapses changes to make the brain more suited to repeating the task. It's called neuroplasticity. Would it not be a wonderful thing to allow God's word to change the physical synapses of our brain, to focus us more and more on God, on love, on experiencing his peace and fulfillment in life? I think one of the real losses in our society today is that we read so much less than people used to. When you read, you have to think, you have to process, you have to imagine the scene, actively engage with the material. Your brain has to comprehend. You have to use your imagination to visualize. And studies have shown that when we watch TV or look at videos, our brains are so much more passive. And yet in our world today, more and more, putting books down, turning on the TV, going to movies and watching the videos, we are staring at the screens in our hands more and more, putting our brains in a lower state of activity. And in doing so, we're missing the treasure that God intends. It is what we were designed for. The Bible is a treasure. God has spoken in it. He invites us to know him through it, to know his love, to delight in connecting with him in the spiritual realities of heaven as we read the Bible. As we read, we'll be changed. Even our brains will be changed, and we will become people more like God, more loving, more joyful, fulfilled, and at peace. Now, you may not be able to envision meditating on scriptures day and night just yet, but like any athlete or performer starting out, you don't go from 0 hours to 6 hours a day practicing soccer or playing an instrument. You start small. You start somewhere, and you learn and grow and do more as you are able. Wouldn't it make sense to approach the scriptures that way? Here we are at the beginning of a new season. Why not make this your pursuit this fall? Read the Word. Dwell in the Word. Seek the Lord in the Word. Start small, but just do it. I close by offering you one practical suggestion. Consider using the resource right in the pew rack in front of you, the Book of Common Prayer. Would you take it out for a moment now and turn in the Book of Common Prayer to page 585. Psalm 1 is on page 585. When you get there, you'll see how it says right above Psalm 1 in italics, first day morning. And then if you turn over to Psalm 6, you'll see it says above that one, first day evening. The Book of Common Prayer has a treasure in its translation of the Psalms, a unique translation that I have found to be a great blessing in my life. And in it, the Psalms are arranged in a 30-day cycle. If you read a few Psalms in the morning and a couple at night, you will get through the entire Psalter in 1 month. Use the Book of Common Prayer and you can seek God in the Psalms morning and night. The Psalms are so real. They have real emotions. They deal with problems, joys, and sorrows. They soar in praise and sink low in lament. I encourage you to consider picking up a Book of Common Prayer and reading through the Psalms in 30 days. That would be a wonderful way to start. So why not start treasure hunting this fall and discover the incredible blessings that await you in the treasure of the Bible? It contains a blessing greater than any buried treasure, greater than so many of the things that we spend our time pursuing. Reading, meditating, seeking God in the Scriptures will change you into a person more like that beautiful, stately tree, experiencing the blessings of being well-watered and nourished and having a life that is blessed with God's presence and favor. Let us learn to cherish, value, pursue, and treasure the Word of God. To Him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Let us all stand.